As to the evil which results from a censorship, it is impossible to measure it, for it is impossible to tell where it ends. And this week's opening quote comes from Jeremy Bentham. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Censorship really is the first act of a criminal government, folks. I've said this many times before. Censorship, when you really start to see it rolled out in the level that we're seeing it rolled out now, really is a great indication of just how far into decline we've gone. It really is. You know, the government attempting to silence any voices just shows their own criminal activities are in danger of being exposed. That's what censorship's all about. You know, censorship isn't put in place to protect people from dangerous information. It's put in place because government finds the information that people are putting out to be dangerous to themselves, dangerous to their rule, dangerous to exposing their lies and exposing their criminal activities. And we're seeing it really ramped up. We're seeing it being brought in blanket across Australia, across social media. Our dear, delightful, sociopathic, moron, banker's puppet Prime Minister ScoMo has decided it would be a wonderful thing to have blanket censorship across this country. How this sociopathic, demon-infested piece of excrement ever got to be Prime Minister really is a wonder. But there he is, the latest puppet in a long line of puppets. But seriously, had anyone ever even heard of this guy before he was suddenly appointed as the new CEO of Corporation Australia? I mean, nobody had ever heard of him. I'd never even heard of the guy before he was suddenly our supreme leader. I mean, how on earth did this happen? But anyway, what we are heading into, folks, is an absolute Orwellian nightmare. The level of censorship has been unprecedented. Interestingly, the last show that I put out, which was about censorship, was censored before it even got to go live. I mean, it wasn't just about censorship. I discussed Morgellons and a whole bunch of things, trying to find some way of unifying the people, getting people to put down all their stuff with each other. But one of the main focuses of this show was censorship, and there it was, censored before people even got to see it. You know, and they'd done all the stuff that they normally do to these shows when they censor them. They still leave it there for you so you can view it, but no share option. You had to literally sign into YouTube to watch it. You had to give age verification to watch it. People who don't have YouTube accounts weren't able to watch it because a lot of my viewers actually don't have YouTube accounts. And they sent me emails saying they're just not able to even watch the video because they have to create a YouTube account to even see it. You know, I'm actually surprised that they allowed comments and didn't disable comments the way they normally do, but they did make it so that you actually have to sign into Google in order to watch the video. And this is all part of Google's new tracking algorithms, folks, just so they can keep tabs on everyone. Google's now put out new information how they're going to be basically blocking anything they disagree with from now on. By the end of 2020, it should be all in place. If you are someone looking up information on the dangers of vaccines or anything, well, you're simply not going to find that information. It's going to be purged from your search results. And vaccines are really a controversial issue. There are many people out there who will say, well, that's good that they're blocking anti-vax material from Google because we don't need these anti-vaxxers ruining the herd immunization. This is programming. These people who really have no idea how to think properly. And many of them will say to you, oh, no, I support vaccines because I did research vaccines and I support the government line. And I would suggest to you, folks, that these people are liars because anybody who has actually researched vaccines could not, in any form of sanity at all, still be supporting vaccines. People who support vaccines, who say, oh yes, I've done the research, are saying that because they simply haven't done the research, because they're scared to do the research, because they don't want to realize just how much danger they're in and how much damage they've done to their children. But all of this stuff is being purged anyway, folks. We're getting to a point where you're not going to be able to find any information regarding vaccines. You're not going to be able to find any information regarding cancer cures, the fact that cancer is the most curable disease on earth, also the most profitable disease on earth. You're not going to find any of this information. It's all going to be purged from the internet. Well, it's going to be purged from your search results anyway. So if you want to get any real information regarding vaccines, regarding any of the stuff that you actually want to know about, you're not going to be able to do it through Google, and you're not even going to be able to do it through Google Chrome. If you're using the Google Chrome browser, the browser itself is going to be blocking these websites by default as soon as you search for them. They're just not going to come up in the results. So it isn't just the Google search engine. it's also the browser. And if you actually do manage to even get to the site, you'll find that if you're using Google Chrome, you'll get a message saying the site is unsafe or whatever. It simply won't load. So Google is fast declining into a majorly fascist organism, and we knew it was bad to begin with. But with the data it's been collecting on everyone, Google really is a terribly evil organization run by terribly evil people. And I think that people should boycott Google as much as they possibly can, use other search engines, use other browsers, and just don't give this ridiculously corrupt organization, this ridiculously controlling and malevolent organization, any of your personal details, because Google will only use these details against you. And it's basically becoming the Ministry of Truth on the internet, and we don't really want that, and we don't need that. What it's all about is curtailing the human experience, because that's what censorship does. You know, censorship is a way of quelling the rise of genius, quelling the rise of any new ideas. It's a way of completely controlling the human experience so that nobody ever thinks anything and nobody's allowed to think anything, nobody's ever allowed to say anything, and it really creates a situation that the ruling scumbags will be able to maintain their power for generation after generation, and that's really what it's all about. They just don't want people thinking outside the box that they have constructed, because they think that their box is the box that should be put in place for everybody. As said once by, I think it was Martha Graham, she said, censorship is the height of vanity. And it really is, folks. These incredibly vain, egotistical people who think they can control what other people should or should not think and should and should not say. And really it's because they wish to run the world in the way they are running it. But it's really getting out of control, folks. As I said, they've censored my last radio show. They've censored my YouTube channel, my last video clip on my YouTube channel anyway. I've done it with other ones. I mean, they've deleted a whole bunch of my clips recently as well. And it's really about all they can do at the moment. I mean, they can censor me. They can put the odd strike on my channel, and I've still got one strike on my channel. But it's difficult for them to really just blatantly shut me down because I've never partnered with them. I've never monetized my YouTube channel, so I'm not subject to all of the advertising rules, which is what they normally use to shut people down, which has been kind of a good thing in a way. I mean, it's allowed me to get as far as I have gotten, but I really can't see it lasting. I think that the channel is going to be hit sometime soon. And also I think, you know, the fact that I've never monetized, which means I've never linked the channel up to my bank account, so they can't really find me that way. I've never live streamed on the channel because I can't live stream because you need to verify yourself with a cell phone in order to live stream, and I don't have a cell phone, so I've never linked the account up to a cell phone. Plus, I use a VPN on my internet connection, and I have for a while, and there's nothing in the real world that is registered in my name that really can track me to the location that I'm at. So it's an interesting thing. I wonder why they let me last so long, but sometimes I think it's because they're trying to track me and they're trying to get as much data on me as they can while they're doing it. I think perhaps I'm a little bit of an enigma for them because I don't think they have too many people on YouTube who don't have cell phones and don't have credit cards. Yeah, and even all the other stuff, I mean, I don't have any subscription section on my website. I don't have anything for sale anywhere. I've never sort of allowed economics to get into it. So there's never been any type of economic connection to connect me to my YouTube channel and to connect me to the real world. It's just an interesting thing how it's all worked out. But I've never done any economics. I've never allowed anything to get in the way. I've never tried to sell anything or sell any books or any of that sort of stuff. Because to me, I mean, this is about freedom. That's what it's all about. It's about sharing information and it's about freedom. And I think it's important not to allow economics to get in the way. I mean, if people are doing this because they want an income from YouTube, well, they've kind of missed the point of what this is all about. Because the ultimate goal here is not income, it's freedom. And look, even in saying that, I mean, I'm not attacking people who have monetized their accounts because everybody needs an income. Everybody needs something to survive on. And I have no problem at all with people who have monetized their accounts. I just saw it as a trap. I always thought that, well, this monetization is going to lead to censorship. It's going to lead to people not only sensationalizing their YouTube clips, and it's going to make it more about clicks than truth for them, possibly. I mean, some people are going to have that mindset, whether they know it or not. But it's also a trap that it's going to ultimately lead to censorship and lead to a lot of people becoming dependent upon YouTube as a money source and a source of income, and then being suddenly shut down and being deprived of that income. And it was ultimately a trap. So, yeah, it's just a route that I never went down. So, like I said, there's nothing to economically connect me to my account, and it's just a weird thing, you know, no phone, no credit card. So, yeah, I think I'm maybe a little bit of an enigma to them. Plus, as I said, they're probably looking for as much evidence as they can get on me for whatever it is they have planned in the future for everybody, I imagine. But then it's probably far more beneficial for them to simply attempt to discredit me and hope I go away. So that may be some of it. But as I said, folks, I mean, I think the censorship is coming anyway. I mean, I think they're going to shut me down eventually. They're certainly hitting my channel in every way they can without actually physically shutting me down. As, for example, like I said, it was very, very difficult for anyone to view last week's radio show on YouTube. I've also been receiving emails from people telling me they need to use a VPN to access my page. I'm not sure whether they mean my YouTube page or my website, but I think there are some people who are having trouble with both of them. So, yeah, it would appear, according to some people, that even the Crow House YouTube channel is censored and you need to have a VPN to access it. That's, of course, if you're in Australia. And so the censorship is really getting through the roof. It's really been taken to ridiculous degrees in this country. And this is what the main focus of the G20 summit was about, as far as our Prime Minister goes anyway. And, of course, all riding off the back of Christchurch, as we knew it would be, as we predicted it would be. And there it is, folks. It really has snowballed around the world, this whole Christchurch event. It has been used to bring in blanket censorship. Yeah, there's so many channels being shut down, so much information being purged, so much being changed with the results in search engines, and even coming back to the event itself, you know, the way they've censored the video and all that stuff. And the reason they've censored the video, folks, is because the video shows that the official narrative is false. The video simply does not support the official narrative of what happened in Christchurch. That's why they've censored it, and that's why they are going hell for leather now to bring in blanket censorship everywhere they can, because they really do not want this type of information getting out to people. They don't want any information getting out to people. They only want to control what people think. They want to be able to control every single piece of information that anybody gets about anything. And it's all got to be designed to support the government line, or it will not be deemed as acceptable. So it's going to make any form of open research on the internet virtually impossible unless we start moving to different search engines and moving to certain browsers, different browsers. I've noticed I can't use Firefox on my computer anymore. For the last 2 weeks, 10 days to 2 weeks, it's been completely unable to load anything. No images, no graphics. It's like the whole browser has completely crashed and become dysfunctional. No matter how many times I clear my cache out, reinstall the browser, everything I try, it just remains unusable. And I'm kind of forced to use Google Chrome or Edge browser, which I really don't like using either of them. So I have to start looking for other browsers to use. But this is the way it seems to be going, folks. They're just kind of squeezing everybody out of everything. I've been getting a lot of emails from people who are unable to download my podcasts from iTunes as well. There seems to be a problem that's happening just with my podcasts on iTunes. I'm not sure what the problem is. I'm not the one who actually set up the iTunes account. I have no idea how iTunes works. I don't have an iPhone. I don't have a Mac. I don't use iTunes for anything. I don't like the way it takes over your computer. I tried using it once, and it tried to claim all my original songs and put copyrights on them and tell me that I couldn't transfer my own songs to other devices. And so I kind of uninstalled that one pretty quickly and got rid of iTunes because I don't do authority very well. So I'm not really sure what's happening with that, but I've contacted the person who set up the account, and they are looking into it when they get some time to do so. So hopefully that will be rectified as soon as possible. But for those people who don't worry about the videos and haven't got the bandwidth for the videos and haven't got the data for the videos and just like to download the audio and listen to that, then even if the podcasts are not available, please do remember that every show is available as an MP3 from the radio archives on my website, thecrowhouse.com. You can just go there, go to thecrowhouse.com, click the face to enter, click radio archives, and where you see podcast for the show, You can just right-click that and download the MP3 onto your device and play it on any MP3 player. So yeah, that's a way around that if the iTunes link is not working for you at the moment. And like I said, I'm doing what I can to get that rectified as quickly as possible. So just please bear with me on that one. And in fact, I received an email indicating that he's already actually had a look at it. So you never know, it could even be working. I mean, if it's not, then it's not. But you never know. If you go and try it today, you might find that it's fixed and it's all working again. I don't know because, as I said, I don't have iTunes, so I can't really go and check it. And who knows, folks? I mean, it could be a problem with the way the uploads are configured, or it could be something that Google has done themselves, because, as I said, Google is really getting quite out of control with its censorship. It really is taking things over to the extreme. You know, I just tend to avoid Google as much as I can, as I said, because I don't do authority. This is why I don't like cell phones and smartphones as well, because most of these things require you to have a Google account in order to use an Android phone. I mean, what's that about? You've got to have a Google account just to use the phone? I mean, no, it doesn't really appeal to me at all. That seems like authority stepping into places where it just has no right to be at all. You know, and what's the reason for this? What, to keep society safe? Oh, yes, we need to keep society safe because we need to know who every cell phone belongs to, because the cell phone may be used to trigger a bomb somewhere. It may be used for terrorism. Of course, this is what people think because they see this sort of stuff on the movies. And, you know, the government sets off a few of these things around the place to create the scenario whereby, oh, these are now dangerous potential terrorist devices. And so we need to have everybody tracked with everything they do. It's just, like I said, folks, authority stepping into places it has no right to be. You need a Google account to make a phone call. I mean, that is just ridiculous. And not doing authority very well is another reason why I never use my Gmail accounts. You know, I was forced to open a Gmail account in order to keep my YouTube account. You know, when Google and YouTube merged together, I was forced to open a Gmail account. So I opened the Gmail account so that I could keep my YouTube account, and I've never ever been back to even check the mailbox even once since I opened the account, which must have been 3 or 4 years ago. I've never gone back there, never checked any email, never got one message through my Gmail. I simply don't use it because I was forced to open the account, so I figure, well, the powers that believe they be obviously want me to have a Gmail account because they want to read all my emails, so I guess the best thing I can do is not use Gmail simply because I'm being forced to use Gmail. So, of course, I shouldn't use Gmail for anything. It's the same with iTunes. It's the same with all this stuff, folks. If they're forcing you in a certain direction and making it impossible for you to go any other direction and forcing you to use certain applications and certain browsers and certain programs and certain email accounts, then the first thing you should do is find other ones and not use the ones that they're forcing you to use. Because if they're forcing you to do something, it's not because it benefits you. It's because it benefits them. So that's always a good rule of thumb, folks. If they're forcing you to do something, you need to do the opposite. And it really is coming in everywhere, folks, this dystopian future, this level of censorship and this basic cleaning up of dissenters, the sweeping aside of dissenters, kind of shunting them off into the corner and putting them in a dark room out the back somewhere where no one notices them. That's what's kind of happening, folks, you know. As I've said before, the revolution will not be televised and neither will the disappearances be televised. People will simply be squeezed out of society. And they're finding ways of doing this. I mean, we can see the censorship going through the roof here in Australia off the back of Christchurch, everything they're doing, and in England off the back of this same event. They brought in a ridiculous amount of new laws in the UK. And as I said a few shows ago, it's far more difficult for them to lock the people of the United States down because in the United States, so many of the citizens are armed. And they've been doing this with the weed laws, and I've been clarified on some of the weed laws. Apparently weed isn't legal in all states, and it's kind of different in a lot of states around the United States, the relation to weed, the relation to firearm ownership and all of this sort of stuff. But it's a few states where they've linked it up together and you're not able to own firearms if you smoke weed. Or if you're a registered weed user anyway, this could be for medical weed. I mean, I don't know. As I said, it's kind of confusing what they've got there. But you can see how this can be tied in with the other legislation I mentioned a few weeks ago, Bill H.R. 838, which is the Terrorism Assessment, Prevention and Safety Act, which is essentially pre-crime. And writing on the back of that, you can see another bill that's been brought in. I think it's been brought in California, but I could be wrong. It could be somewhere different. But it's Bill AB 262, which has been brought in by the Senate Committee on Health, and it covers communicable diseases. And what it refers to, the summary, it refers to local health officers, what they would do during an outbreak of communicable disease or upon the imminent and proximate threat of a communicable disease or outbreak that threatens the public health. So you've got to look at the wording of these things, folks, and bear in mind that recently in the United States, they considered measles to be an epidemic, and they wanted to bring in forced vaccinations. It might have been in New York. I'm not sure. I might have got the state wrong. But someone was talking about bringing in forced vaccinations because there was a measles epidemic happening. A measles epidemic, they called it. I mean, folks, measles is a normal childhood disease that actually strengthens your immune system. So you look at this bill, you know, it gives the state public health, it says here on the bill, gives the state public health officers the broad authority to detect and monitor and prevent the spread of communicable diseases. So they're talking about forced vaccinations. And it also talks about adopting and enforcing regulations requiring strict or modified isolation to take measures as necessary. And it gives the officer the ability to take possession or control of the body of any living person and to isolate, inspect, and disinfect persons, houses, or destroy objects that are maybe considered dangerous. I mean, to destroy them when ordinary means of disinfection are considered unsafe. I mean, if you really look at this bill, folks, this bill, the wording of it is so broad that it virtually gives the state health authorities the ability to arrest and detain, isolate anybody that they want, and to basically burn their house and all their possessions down simply because they haven't vaccinated their children for measles. This is the wording of this, folks. I mean, it gives the authorities the right to actually be able to do this for something as simple as measles, to simply arrest someone, separate the parents from their children, isolate them, take possession of any living person, and to disinfect their house. And, of course, fire is a very good disinfectant, isn't it? I mean, this is just absurd, folks, the broadness of this bill and what they can do with this. So couple this with the legalization of weed, the gun legislation that's tying in with that in some states, and then bring in Bill H.R. 838, the Terrorist Assessment Prevention and Safety Act, and tie that in with this new one, Bill AB 262, and you've got a pretty neat package here that you can just about detain anybody that you want to. In some states, you can detain anybody who owns a gun simply because they smoke weed. You can detain anybody that you perceive may be a threat, or anybody who is capable of committing an act of violence, which is essentially anybody with a pair of hands. And you can do this simply because you don't like their post on Facebook. And you can also arrest someone and isolate them from their family and burn their house down simply because they're an anti-vaxxer. They're a vaccine activist, or perhaps they're someone who hasn't vaccinated their children for measles. I mean, this is extremely dangerous legislation that's being rolled out right under everybody's noses while everyone thinks Trump's in there batting for them, while people are distracted with all of the other stuff that's going on. This is the type of legislation that is rolling out, folks, and this is what they're doing in the United States. So if you think that this censorship isn't coming to you in the United States, well, it already is. And it's happening in very insidious ways. They're doing it through legislation and bills and safety acts and health acts and all of this sort of stuff, just so they can slip in the back door while people aren't noticing. So it's pretty important that people pay attention to what's going on here. It really is, and it's pretty important that people attempt to create some sort of unity with the people around them. You know, as I've said for so many years, folks, you know, peaceful non-compliance, you know, if we simply walk away from this system en masse, you know, step back into natural law and realize that we're supporting our own slavery here, and all we're doing with every move that we do that this system demands we do is stepping outside our moral compass to do it. You know, if we put all that back into play and we bring morals back into play, we bring our moral compass back into play, bring natural law back into play, and simply stop complying with our own slavery, we can step away from this system in mass and we could change the world in a day. That is the frustration of all of this. You know, seeing all of this in place and even, you know, seeing it rolled out and people wanting to address it, you know, they're going down legal means and petitions and bills and legal action and all that sort of stuff, which is all great. Sure, let's do it because we need to throw as many spanners in the works as possible. And taking all this type of legal action definitely does help awaken other people who think that that world is real and they only really understand legalities and all of this social construct. So that's a method that needs to be employed as well. But, you know, stepping back and really looking at it, you know, just encouraging people to step away from the system is the most beneficial thing we could ever do, and we'll have more results than any type of legal action we could ever implement. You know, we've got so much evidence now that the governments are just so full of crap. They really are. All these people, they're just liars, folks. All of these governments are liars, and so much of it is theatre. All of this international tension and all this stuff, so much of it is theatrics, folks. Trump going into North Korea and making peace with North Korea the other day. I mean, North Korea has been a CIA operation the whole time. The whole place was set up by the CIA. It's been run as a little pet enemy of the United States simply so they can bring in legislation and mount their theater wars and have this terrible threat that they need to be there so they can do all the stuff that they do. I mean, have a look at the history of Korea. Have a look at the Korean War. Have a look at what it was before the Korean War and have a look at what it's been since the Korean War. Have a look at the CIA influence in the country. And you realize that all this is theatrics. It's just a puppet show, the whole thing. Kim Jong-il was never any type of threat to the United States, and he still isn't any type of threat to the United States. The whole thing is a CIA operation. That's all North Korea has ever been about. Theatre for the masses, folks, you know, pet enemies and pet distractions and pet wars that they need just to keep people from paying attention to what's actually happening on the ground where they live. And really, that's where the focus needs to be put. I mean, a lot of people just don't see this. They just don't see what's happening right beneath their feet. And it's rolling out pretty quickly, folks. And there's so much theatre now to distract us away from this. And so many attempts to keep us tied up in infighting. Put it all down, folks, and look at what's happening. Because if we stand together as one strong voice, we can stop this and we can change it. We can change the direction that we're going. But if we continue to focus on infighting and trying to hack each other down and see who can be the top dog on the pile of conspiracy theorists or whatever it is that we have degraded into being, when really we should be truth and freedom activists. I mean, if that's our focus, then we're never going to get anywhere, folks, because the system that's rolling out now is going to be pretty difficult to escape from once it's in place. We're going to be so locked out of the internet anyway. It's going to be very difficult to even get this type of information to anybody soon. So it's important that we pay attention now and we get ourselves into action now. Get out there in the real world. Get offline, get in the real world and actually get out there and do things and help reach people, reach your neighbors, just reach out to people, folks. That could make all the difference. It really could. But folks, I think we've reached break time here, so I'll have to leave it there for now and we're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on there today. It's always a pleasure to have your company and I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so, you know, with this whole surveillance system that's rolling out, 5G and everything that we're facing, a lot of other reports I've been getting in emails is that people have been having a great deal of success in addressing the surveillance aspects of it, the social crediting system, pointing out to people what's happening in China, what it's really about, and how this monitoring system, as I mentioned a show or two ago, which has all been rolled out by BAE Systems, this whole monitoring system is coming into play in all of our countries. This is what is happening right now. Real-time data being collected on people in real-time, facial recognition everywhere, and gradually moving us into a cashless grid. And the cashless grid is eventually going to end up in a situation where there's no banks, there's no even need for a legal system, because it's all going to be taken care of by algorithms. You know, you're going to get behavioral points. You'll get behavioral credits, social credits, based on what you act like in society, how you behave in society, how you treat people. And the thing is with this, you know, it all sounds good on the surface when looked at that way. But when you realize that the parameters that have been set up, which determine what good is, are being set up by the criminal caste masquerading as government, it becomes a very, very dystopian. But once people really start to understand how this works and how there's going to be virtual fences set up and how it's not really going to matter how much money you've got in the bank or how much cryptocurrency you've got or any of this sort of stuff, none of this is going to be relevant at all in the system because it won't matter how much money you've got because your purchasing power is going to be determined upon your social credit points, on your behavioral score. So that's really what is the relevant part. You know, you could have billions of dollars in the bank, but if you're not able to buy a plane ticket simply because you jaywalked a couple of days before and you've jaywalked too many times and now you're down on social credit scores, well, it's not going to matter. The only way you're going to be able to get those points back is to perform some sort of an act of bribery, like go and make substantial donations to government-sponsored charities or to go and do volunteer work. And eventually, when you look at this and you think about how it works and ties in with volunteer work and all of this sort of stuff, and it's all based on behavioral scores and social credit scores, and there's no real need for banking. Well, as the system becomes more and more automated, we're going to be all issued with a universal basic income. And that universal basic income will be based on social credit scores. It'll all be 1,000 points. You'll get 1,000 points to start with, and then you will go up and down according to how you behave, which will be judged according to government parameters and government guidelines. And not even government in its normal sense, because it won't be people setting up the guidelines. It will be algorithms. It will be AI setting up the guidelines. And that's why there'll be no real need for a legal system as well, because your punishment, should you commit a crime, will be determined by the algorithm. It will already know what your social credit score is, and your punishment will be determined by that social credit score. I mean, if you commit a serious crime, like hurt somebody or steal or something like that, you'll be instantly locked out of the system. They'll know it was you. It'll all be on camera everywhere, blah, blah, blah. You'll get locked out of the system. And so you'll instantly become an undesirable. You get picked up by security cameras. They come and get you, lock you in the smart prison. And that's great for catching criminals. Sounds wonderful again. And this is the way it will be presented to society. See how safe we can keep you with this system. But when you start applying it to dissenters, you start applying it to people who think outside the box on Facebook, people who have been attempting to alert others to the dangers of vaccinations, people who discover government corruption, such as we've recently seen in the ABC, what they did when they raided the ABC offices, all of these sorts of people, YouTubers who speak out against the system, people who speak out against Israel, people who question anything the government does at all, will be identified and they will be ostracized by the loss of social credit points. It'll get to the point that you post something on Facebook that is against what the government says, and you'll lose social credit points simply for making that post. Now, you'll do a post on Facebook, and then you go somewhere to buy a train ticket or a plane ticket and find that you're not qualified for the plane ticket because of a post you put on Facebook a couple of months ago, and you didn't even know you'd been penalized for it. And then, of course, if you get penalized too much and you lose too many social credit points, it'll be the way it is in China. You'll be taken away to a vocation center for re-education, which is essentially taken to a concentration camp and trained to think the way the government wants you to think, or they won't release you. Now, this is the potential of this system. This is where we're going. And so it's pretty important that people wake up to it. And, you know, again, you look at all this that I've just outlined for you with that, and then couple that with what I mentioned before with Bill HR 838 and with Bill AB 262. And you can see where they're going with all this, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, when you really start pointing this out to people, again, it's been having a pretty good effect in waking people up to what this 5G system is really all about, what the Internet of Things is really all about. And the Internet of Things has been taken to the next level as well. I don't know whether you've noticed, but someone posted a link on one of my shows, I think it might have been last week's show, about new invisible cameras that are coming into play in cell phones. This is greatly sought after technology, apparently. The whole concept of having a camera in the front of your cell phone, but it takes up that little space, you know. There's always a little notch there where the camera lens sits They want to get rid of that. They want to be able to have an invisible camera on the front of your phone that can see through the pixels on the phone because it's aesthetically better. This is the excuse they're using. They're saying, yes, this will sell more. It'll be more attractive to people. But what they're saying is, well, yes, we're developing a hidden camera that can sit behind any screen and it can watch you in real time and deliver a crystal clear picture. This is what we're working on. So you think about how this goes as well when you tie it into the Internet of Things. If you've got anything with a translucent face on it, like, you know, any screen, like a mobile phone or a TV or a computer or anything like that, or perhaps even a digital clock or a clock radio or a baby watcher or perhaps even a jar of makeup, you know, the thick translucent glass on a makeup. You think about it. When all of these things have got microchips in them, everything is connected to the Internet because of the Internet of Things. Everything's chipped. Everything's tracked. It means everything can send a signal. You know, how difficult would it be to put a hidden camera inside any of the items that I mentioned before, inside a baby watcher, inside a cell phone, inside a clock radio, inside a digital clock, inside a jar of makeup, embedded into the glass in the makeup? I mean, any of the things that we have around our house as normal household items, how difficult would it be to embed a micro camera in any of these if they have a translucent type of glass on them? And have that camera transmitting to anywhere you want because everything's got a microchip in it anyway. You know, we're creating a society which is really taking mass surveillance to the next level, folks, and all of it is being presented to us as attractive technology that is going to benefit us. But really what we are doing is we're handing all of our existence over into the hands of artificial intelligence. That's what's happening. And it's happening whether we want to do it or not. I mean, even whether the politicians want or not. The politicians are actually squeezing themselves out of a job. I think there was a Australian congresswoman recently, I think, was actually talking about the fact that state governments are actually squeezing themselves out of existence because in the system that's coming, all we're going to really need are local councils to manage things on the ground in the local area and the federal government. We're not even going to need state governments to get in the way because it's all going to be run by one big system. And the whole thing is going to be governed by AI. The whole thing is going to be governed by social credits and behavior scores. And as I said, in that sort of a system, it doesn't matter how much money you've got. If you can't spend it, then you can't spend it. And when everything is digital, when there's no cash, whatever money you've got, whether it's crypto or whatever, it's all digital, you can't actually go into the store and hand them a note. Well, then they have got you, and you have to behave the way they tell you to behave, or they simply won't let you buy anything. And in a world that is run by economics, if you can't buy anything, then you can't live, you can't eat, you can't pay rent, you can't do anything. And that is the beast system, folks. That's what we're moving into. And what really seems to be controlling it more than anything else is actually Google. So as I mentioned earlier, I would suggest that people start to step right away from Google as much as they possibly can. A little bit of rain happening here, folks. It's been raining here for about a month, about 6 weeks. So this is why you've been getting all this background noise on the shows recently. So not much I can do about that. That's just the way it is. But yeah, back on topic, folks. This is really, really where we're going. And as I said, a lot of people have been having a good deal of success just waking people up to this. I mean, when you look at it, you put all the pieces in place. I mean, you know, it's kind of a bit of a jigsaw puzzle. But when you start building the picture, it really does become quite clear what's happening. You know, and you look at the surveillance, you look at the tracking, you look at the Internet of Things, you look at where all the technology is going, and really, what I've just outlined for you becomes indisputable. I mean, it's not really even a debatable point, and most people can see it pretty quickly once you point it all out to them. The problem is that they don't usually have time to look at this sort of stuff. They don't have time to actually step back from their every day-to-day grind and actually look at all the pieces of the puzzle in order to be able to put it together. They just simply don't have the time because they're kept too busy running on the treadmill, which, again, is what this system is designed to do. You know, there's all of this stuff going on beneath people's feet, and they're always kept distracted by all the external trappings of life that go with this society. If it's not just the external trappings of life, then It's the international theatrics that we're always dealt with. I mean, we're always led down the garden path with this stuff all the time. There's always some major drama on the horizon, always imminent death, imminent war, imminent this, imminent that, but it never really comes to fruition. It's all designed to keep us on the edge of our seats, keep us living in fear, and make us believe that we actually need government here to protect us, when it's really just them cooking the whole thing up to begin with, you know. One big theatre show, ladies and gentlemen, and it always has been. But through it all, as I said, it's very important that people notice what's actually happening on the ground beneath their feet as we're being distracted with all this stuff. This is why, even with all the incredible amount of trolling that I've been getting lately, and it really has been through the roof, the amount of people attacking me over my stance on Christchurch, I'm not even letting it affect me, because it's not about that. It's about staying the course, and that's what all of this stuff is. And it's very interesting that it's all happening now. And it's very interesting that so many people have such a vested interest in making sure attention is shifted away from the clear evidence on the video that exposes the helpers and the car that's there that leaves halfway through. It's very, very interesting that there's so much attempt to distract attention from that. I mean, the amount of fire that I've been coming under it, it's quite revealing. It really is. Because, I mean, ultimately, in the world of the truth of community, I'm just one small voice. One small voice that had a different opinion to everybody else, but the amount of attacks that I've got and the amount of attempts to discredit me for simply voicing that opinion with no discussion on it at all is very, very revealing, folks. As I said, you know, the video is banned because it shows the government is lying, it shows the media is lying. We could literally bring them down if attention was put on what is revealed by that video. And it seems to be a huge effort to stop that happening. So, yeah, like I said, folks, it's just important to stay the course. And I think, like I said, it's very revealing that I'm getting so much flack over that. It really shows me that I've actually really hit right on the target with that observation of those handlers in red and that silver Toyota Will VS that left halfway through. But anyway, even that is kind of irrelevant in the face of what we're facing. I mean, what Christchurch was about more than anything is what it's used for, you know, what the event was staged for and what it is being used for. And as I said, we've seen blanket censorship coming out about it. There's some new propaganda film they're releasing as well, some, you know, account of what happened at Christchurch and how they need to now censor live streaming and monitor live streaming on all social media and all the stuff that we've been talking about. Very, very predictable as to why they did it, why they let it happen, and what it's going to be used for. And really, that's what we need to focus on, the fact that all this is happening and we can stop it happening by simply not participating in the smart grid ourselves, not participating in smart technology. You know, the frustrating thing for me about it was the fact that the video actually shows that they did it. It shows that they're lying. And it would have been nice to get some focus on that. And as I said, I do find it quite revealing that such an enormous effort has been undertaken to make sure that information is squashed. And as I said, they can't squash the information because it's out there now. So the best thing they can do is attempt massive character assassinations with me. But hey, interesting stuff. Water off a duck's back, and it kind of just, as I said, shows me that I'm over the target. Funny how things turn out when you just observe things without any stake in the outcome either way. Sometimes you ruffle the feathers, folks, but as said by Bill Cooper, when you tell the truth, the real truth, you piss everyone off. And that's just the way it is, and I guess it's to be expected. But as I said, folks, I mean, I'm just one small voice in this movement who had nothing whatsoever to gain by going against the general consensus on Christchurch. And so you've got to wonder why, by pointing out the fact that the Christchurch shooter's video reveals the government is lying, such ire and attention and animosity is being directed towards me for pointing that out, and not being directed towards the government. Interesting. But hey, thanks for all the supportive emails and positive comments I've seen on the videos in regard to all this as well. So the support is much appreciated, folks. It does really help when you get some positive input from the listeners and positive input from the viewers. You know, and ultimately it's you guys that have kept me going anyway. I mean, the comments are great, and I do read all the comments. Sometimes I don't get to reply to them. I get to actually give you a little heart now, so that you know I've read your comment and I dig what you say. So that's nice that YouTube has put that there. And that really is, as I said, one of the main things that keeps me going, folks, is all the positive comments that I've received over so many years of doing this on YouTube. It really has been you guys and the energy that you've put into such kind things that you've said that has really been some of the major food that I've used to continue this effort. So thanks for all those comments, and thank you again to all the people from New Zealand who continue to write to me about this event as well. There is a lot of people in New Zealand that are continuing to follow through and research this, so that's good to see. And there's a lot of action in New Zealand, a lot of action being taken all around the world, actually, to combat this whole smart grid. And a lot of people are getting it. We've seen, I think it was Louisiana, have made a huge stand against 5G. We've seen protests here all around Australia. A lot of people are speaking out about it. And there's a lot of action groups forming on the ground all over the world to combat this. So it's a good thing to see. It's a good thing to see. But as I said, you know, don't just focus on the health aspects. Make sure people are aware of the surveillance aspects as well, because this is really having a great deal of success with people. But of course, the health aspects are very concerning as well. Recently, there was a test done, a 5G test done at Glastonbury. The poor people who spent £315 on a ticket to go to the concert at Glastonbury, the festival at Glastonbury, found themselves subject to 5G testing, 5G experimentation. Many people were reported to be leaving the concert grounds with nosebleeds and all the symptoms of radiation poisoning. This is the British government experimenting on their people. I mean, this is an assault that was just carried out against the people. All the people who ran the experiment, I mean, really, they should be arrested for what they just did to the population. They should be arrested. They should be charged with assault. They should be put in jail. All the politicians that supported this, the telco companies that rolled it out, absolutely disgusting they would do that. And apparently they were taking the frequencies up as far as 60 gigahertz. I mean, ridiculous frequencies, much, much higher than what the recommended frequencies for 5G transmissions are, and just very, very bad stuff, folks. So we're seeing all of the dangers of this that we've been warning about for so long, all being confirmed with the experiments the government is running and the telco companies are running. So there is a lot of attention being brought to this, and it's a really good thing to see. But keep it up, folks. I mean, don't back down. Realize that this is an assault, and you don't have to put up with it. You can stand up and say something about this. And, you know, it's got to the point that if they're just going to roll these towers out, well, there needs to be some sort of a concerted effort to just go and pull them down. Because, you know, I mean, it's an assault. What do? It's a quiet assault. If people are putting weapons around you and pointing guns at you, you go and turn them in the other direction. You pull them down. And that's what these things are. So it's really getting to that point. If the government is going to legislate that they're going to do this anyway, then the people have to realize that what they're doing is sitting there and passively allowing themselves to be assaulted by people. And they need to defend themselves. They really do. And any pulling of these towers down and any destruction of 5G technology, really, it's a matter of self-defense. You know, we don't want this stuff. It doesn't support us. It doesn't help us. The only people it supports are the criminals running this place, and we don't need to be giving them any more support. So it's really time we called it for what it is, folks. You know, I mean, how far do we allow ourselves to be pushed until we start pushing back, you know? And at what point does it become self-defense? That's the question. You know, and anything we do against the government really is self-defense, folks, because these people have been pushing us and pushing us and pushing us for generation upon generation. And it's about time we pushed back and said, enough is enough. It really is. And this 5G thing, I mean, this is the last straw. This is really the end game for these people. The smart grid is the new world order, as I've said to people so many times. And it's imperative that people pay attention to this. And as I said, start pushing back, folks. You know, if you don't start pushing back, then perhaps your children will want to push back. And it's going to be so much more difficult for them to push back when they grow up. I mean, they're not even going to have the ability to do so. So if people who are aware of this situation do not take the matter in hand now and stop this, then the future we're allowing to be constructed for our children is going to be an incredible dystopia, and they're not going to have any way out of that prison, and it's all going to be due to our negligence on the ground today. So that's where the action needs to be mounted, folks. That's where the attention needs to be. And as I've said so many times, one of the most important things you can do is share information with people. Help people become aware of what is actually happening around us. It's so important that people do this. I mean, that is the best action anybody can take, because once enough people become aware of it, we can simply step away from the system. As I've said, you know, non-compliance, folks, we could step away from this whole thing in a day, and we could change the world in a day, non-violently, peacefully, respectfully. All we have to do is change our perspective and say, hey, we don't want to do this anymore. We've realized that we're all just people here. And that you guys in the situations of government, I mean, you're not there to rule us. You're there to manage things on our behalf. You're doing a god-awful job, and so we've decided to call it. And that's what we need to do, folks. As soon as we do that, we will change the world in a day. It's just getting the information to people so they can see the necessity of making this stand while we are still able to. Now, and the hardest part is and has always been the sharing of information. Too much division, too much animosity, the so-called truth movement. It's not a truth movement, it's a popularity contest, and that's really not what it's about, folks. What it's about is freedom. And our freedoms are truly vanishing very, very quickly. There's actually a report I saw put out by Vice News. An undercover team went into China. The report was called China's Vanishing Muslims, undercover in the most dystopian place in the world. I really recommend that you go and look at that. And if you're watching this on YouTube, I'll be sure to put a link in the description below. And irrespective of what you think about Muslims, folks, it's the fact that this is a group of people that are being targeted and the way they are being targeted and the level of surveillance and control that the citizens are under in China is really quite freakish. This is not a place that anybody would want to live, and this is what is coming to all of our countries if we don't put down all this stuff with each other. Stop wanting to be right on all of these issues. Stop trying to hack each other down. And don't get some focus on what this smart grid is. You know, if we keep viewing this as a popularity contest and about who has the latest scoop or whatever, or who can climb to the top of the pile, we fail to get a focus on what is actually happening around us and what this control grid is going to be, and we fail to take the necessary steps to step away from this grid before it comes online, then all hope of human freedom is going to be lost. And it's imperative that we get this focus, ladies and gentlemen. It really is. So whatever you're doing out there, you know, put your stuff down. All you people out there trolling me because I think different to you about Christchurch, and the first action you've got is to scream, government agent, because he doesn't think it's all fake. Well, you know, I don't have any stake in knowing whether it's real or fake, or believing whether it's real or fake. It doesn't matter to me either way. I don't care. I don't have any position to defend on it. My whole thing with it was asking why the claims were being made, because they were not supported by the video. And what that caused me to do was look at the video deeper, and that caused me to see the people in red and the extra handlers and see all the reasons why that video was banned. And all the people who think that by naming that makes me a government agent, you're idiots. You're programmed fools, and you're doing exactly what the government wants you to do. Because what is important about that video is the results of that video. What's important about all of this is freedom. And that's what the focus needs to be. So get a grip, people. You know, this whole grid is coming out now. It's all rolling out now. It's coming to our country. It's coming to a town near you right now. And if you fail to get a grip on this, then you are helping build your own prison. And if you're continuing to use your cell phone for all these things and use your cell phone to log into this and log into that, and you're continuing to shop with credit cards and do all of this smart stuff and use all of this smart technology, then you are part of the problem. It's as simple as that. You got to stop supporting the system, because by supporting it, you're supporting your own slavery. And this is not a popularity contest. And it doesn't matter who's right on anything. What matters is freedom, and that needs to be the focus. But folks, we've now reached that time again where it's the end of the show. We've completely run out of time. Thank you to all of the people who send me so many kind emails and so many kind words. Thank you to all the wonderful people who support me on Patreon. As I've said, I couldn't do this without your support. I couldn't continue this work without your support. As I've mentioned before, I'm going to be speaking at the Paradigm Shift Summit on the Gold Coast in mid-August. You'll find a banner to that on my website. I'm also going to be speaking at Anarchadelphia in Philadelphia in September. And I'll be speaking at Anarchapulco in February next year. Next year is probably going to be the last year that I do any touring, folks, I think. I'm sort of thinking that way. I mean, not guaranteed, but I'm kind of thinking that 2020 may be the last year that I actually go out traveling and doing all these gigs around the world. So whatever gigs I do book next year, there'll probably be AV11 and a couple of things, but whatever it is, that will probably be the last chance you get to come and say hi if you ever wanted to do that. I mean, there's a chance I may go down and hang in the jungle for a little while or do something else and, you know, not particularly stay in Australia for the rest of my life, but I just don't know about all the touring around and doing all these speaking dates and all that sort of stuff. I'm just getting a little too long in the tooth for it, folks. It kind of takes a little bit more of a toll on me than it did when I was younger, when I was a musician and traveling around. So it may be the last year, 2020 may be the last year that I actually book any gigs. Just, like I said, not guaranteeing it, but just see how we go. Something else I really want to do, folks, is I really want to complete these films. The film that I started making on the Amazon, I got hacked 3 or 4 months ago, and I lost so much data. I lost like 3, 4, 5 years work, and it was really quite depressing for a while, but that's something else that I would like to get into. I really want to make this film about the Amazon that I've been trying to make for so many years, and I'd like to put a little bit of focus in that as well. It's very difficult to do when I'm touring and doing the radio shows. But as I said, folks, I will be booking some gigs for next year. So if you would like to come and say hello, 2020 might be the last chance you get to do it. We'll just see how we go. So do look out for those gigs when they happen, and I'll keep you posted. But that is it for me, folks. We've completely run out of time. I'm going to have to sign off now. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care. Until then, in Lakesh.